What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
It's not unmanly to seek out help. It's not weakness to say that I'm not okay. It's not weakness to cry. It's not weakness to just start an overall healing journey and process.
The What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good?
Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. And I'm super excited because we are in season 9 and we're going to talk about all things wellness. And we have a guest with us. He's actually spinning the block. The first time we did it was a virtual situation, but now he's in person and his name is Jeremy English. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just trying to stay cool, which is impossible in Dallas in July.
But we making it. We staying cool, staying hydrated. So I'm just so excited for you to be here with me.
I'm excited to be here too to talk about wellness because it's so important, especially in this climate. But we'll get into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So I want to go ahead and get started with our icebreaker. We're still doing the same thing like we did before.
Cool.
So your icebreaker today, if you could direct and star in a short film about healing in the Black community, what would the title be and what message would you want people to walk away with?
Oh, well, and really, I think this is to like set the tone for like just this conversation today, just around the mental health of us as Black men. The title would be Man Enough to Heal. And what I would want, particularly my brothers, to take away from it is it's not unmanly to seek out help. It's not weakness to say that I'm not okay. It's not weakness to cry. It's not weakness to just start an overall healing journey and process. So, yes.
That's good. You see how I combine you being in film.
Okay.
That was really good. So with that being stated, as you guys know, we always start the conversation with who is. So go ahead and let us know who Jeremy English is and where you've been and how, you know, let's like really catch up.
Yeah. So Jeremy English is a jack of all trades for real. My 9 to 5, I actually work in human resources. I've been in HR for 13 years, so I don't feel like it. It feels weird even saying numbers like that associated with my career. But anyway, so I've been in HR for 13 years. And then I've also been kind of like in the entertainment industry to a degree, I guess you could say, here. Well, more locally, but I've done stuff outside of Dallas too. Started with doing, really, my first love was music. So I'm a vocalist. I also act. I write, I direct, I produce, and that's, we talked a little bit about that my first time. But I also am into film as well. I have my music show called The Crib, T-H-A, Crib, Dallas. And it's kind of like a cross between Tiny Desk and like Rap City, basically, where we interview local artists here in the DFW, and then we also give them an opportunity to get on the mic and do it in an acoustic performance with our music director who plays the guitar and the piano. So that's like something that I'm doing now just in the entertainment realm, just kind of on an ongoing basis, but I don't really perform anymore really, just because I like kind of being behind the scenes now. And then lastly, I do work in mental health, and which is, you know, what we're really here to talk about today. It started with my boss's boss. So I work in human resources in property management. So I support apartment communities. And the National Apartment Association started a mental health initiative for the industry, for the property management industry in 2022. My boss's boss recommended me to be one of the first instructors to teach a class on mental health. And that class is called Mental Health First Aid. And basically what it is, it's a course that teaches on the signs and symptoms of if you or someone around you might be experiencing a mental health challenge or a mental health crisis, and basically what to do whenever you come across it. So we also give just different resources and tips and tools of just how to navigate it. Because honestly, there's actually an exercise like at the start of the training where it's like, it's a video of two people sitting down and like one of the ladies is like, hey, how are you doing? And the other lady is like, not good, actually. And she actually says not good to like a number of different people to see their reaction. And really what the goal behind that is to show in a lot of cases when you come across somebody that's not doing well, a lot of people don't even know what to do.
What to say.
Or what to say, you know? Yeah. So we teach again on how to navigate those types of situations because, I mean, in this day and age, I mean, mental health has always been important, but I feel like it's more important now than ever.
Absolutely.
Just life has changed so much, especially over the past 5 years or so. So I feel like now is definitely the time to push mental health as much as possible. But anyway, that was kind of like my intro into mental health. And that led me to want to do more in the mental health space outside of just teaching mental health first aid. And so I don't know if I'm getting ahead of schedule.
No, go for it.
But I felt led to create a holiday because there is a group of, there's a demographic that I feel is underserved the most for a number of different reasons as it pertains to mental health. And that's Black men.
Absolutely.
And of course, obviously, I get it. But, you know, just in teaching mental health first aid, I was coming across it a lot just with a lot of the Black men that would be in the class and just like really seeing their perspectives on just life. And it's not that I was oblivious to it because these are things that I knew, but
now,
right, and it's in your face and you're on your own mental health journey of, recognizing some of those things that were taught and learned just, you know, from our overall upbringing, you kind of realize like, nah, this ain't okay. But the issue is because it's so taught and so learned, it's the norm for us to just push through life and to just, you know, be strong in every definition of the word strength, but there's not a lot of assistance on how to do that. You know, it's just like, you know, again, like what I was saying with the whole, the example or the icebreaker, that man enough to heal, like, it's just like, we grew up with the mindset of like, oh, you cry, that's weak.
Yeah.
So I just set out to really change that narrative just in like seeing it in my face at that point. So I created a national holiday. It's certified with the National Day Archives. It's literally
very nice.
Yeah. So it's literally National Black Men's Mental Health Day. And it's celebrated on July 18th of every year, July being BIPOC Mental Health Awareness Month, which for those that aren't aware, BIPOC stands for Black, Indigenous, and People of Color.
So, okay, I want to take it back because it was a really good intro, but I do want to peel back some of the layers that you mentioned and start from how did you grow up in dealing with your emotions? And like you mentioned, a lot of times in the Black household, when it comes to little boys, when it comes to Black men, teaching them, don't cry. What you crying for? You don't need to be crying. That's not what a man do. You're supposed to be a man.
Yeah.
So what was your household? What did that look like for you growing up in expressing your feelings and being intact to how you feel about certain things?
Yeah. It was actually quite a challenge because, so I actually grew up in a two-parent household and my parents are like polar opposites. I would say my mom encouraged it a little more, but my dad, like, not at all. And if my dad watches this, like, I ain't mad at you, bro.
No. But,
I don't even blame him because, I mean, again, it was a generational thing.
That's what he was taught, yeah.
Just thinking about, so I didn't even have an actual relationship with my biological grandfather because he was in prison for the bulk of my life.
Uh-huh.
And once I did finally get a chance to get to know him in my adult life, I was in like my late 20s I met him briefly when I was like a preteen, but it was incarceration involved. Mm-hmm. Once he was out, that was, I was in my late 20s, but knowing kind of like his background and like, I mean, I'll just call it what it is. He was him and his brothers with them guys in Dallas back in the day. Take that as you may.
I know.
But like knowing just kind of how he was and how his brothers were. And my dad grew up seeing that when he was young.
Yeah.
When he was, you know, a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing. If you grow up in inner city, not even just inner city Dallas, but I feel like any type of inner city, you know, metropolitan area, as black men, you just got to be tough.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to be tough. But there's not, again, a lot of influences around us that say, you know, hey, yeah, you know, be tough, but take care of yourself at the same time. And I think we still hear that term, you know, take care of yourself, but it's more so physically, not mentally.
That is true.
And so, again, you know, just keeping all of that in mind, it made sense as to why, you know, I did hear the phrase, what you crying for? Like, I did hear the phrase, man, I did hear the phrase, stop being weak. Like, I heard those phrases growing up. And again, it was a challenge because my mom would, you know, I won't say she would coddle me, like, it come in and try to, like, you know, after me and my dad would have it out. But I mean, she would try to be like that soft spot to just, you know, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But then, like, when the river met the road and my dad would, you know, have something to say, like, he would say what he would have to say. So it was like a back and forth, which I feel like was even more challenging than I think somebody that might have just grown up with one or the other.
Right.
Because for me, it was just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to feel.
Right.
But it's like, am I supposed to tap into my feelings or am I supposed to just man up and push through it? And that was, I would say, my biggest struggle growing up, for sure.
That is so, okay, I can relate to you on so many levels with that. I grew up in a household, both my parents there, and I thought things was normal. You know, how I would see how my brother was so tough. My daddy was so tough on my brother. And then my mama was low-key tough on me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But now that I have these conversations with them, but I never thought anything was wrong. So I thought it was normal I got older and discussed in therapy. I didn't realize that I had daddy issues. And I realized that, you know, certain things with my mom, I feel like she was kind of lax on. And certain things, she was like, no, girl, get yourself together. And I feel like it still formed me as, you know, the person I am today. Yeah. But a lot of times, those situations that I grew up in the household with, I didn't know until I spoke to someone. And they were like, no, Bree, that is not. That's, right. You know, it's kind of traumatizing. Right. And so there's no beef at all with my parents, but I do know that I had to have certain conversations with them.
Yeah.
So for you, when did you realize that, you know, I grew up with this being normal in my head? I know my grandfather's situation. I know my father's situation. I know my mom still takes care and make sure I'm good at the end of the day. But then growing up and talking to somebody or even within yourself realizing like, ooh, that was not okay back then. When did that light switch for you in that situation where it was like, yeah, this, I need to, you know, figure out what I want to do differently?
You know, in all honesty, and I won't say this might be controversial, but as a man of God, I mean, I have to be 100% frank. I rededicated my life to Christ in 2013.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And when that happened, it opened my eyes and my heart and my spirit to a lot of things that I thought was normal because I was operating in a different facet. I was doing as much as I could to operate in the spirit and not the flesh. And when you're intentional with that, God reveals so many different things to you.
Absolutely.
And for me, I feel like I started to develop more of an empathetic way of thinking. Whereas, honestly, the way I grew up, like, I don't feel like there was a ton of empathy in my household. I'm not going to say it wasn't any, but I don't feel that there was a ton of it. Especially in the moments where it's like, you know, if I made a mistake or something like that, I don't feel like there was a ton of it. But as I started to navigate my own personal relationships as an adult, that in conjunction with, again, having a newfound way of living my life, for God, well, as much as I can, because I still fall short, y'all. But, you know, just like I said, that in conjunction with wanting to live a certain way and allow people to see him through me as much as I possibly can, that came with, again, approaching situations differently than I would have before. The word encourages us to be slow to anger. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I struggled with when I was younger, because I associated, I don't want to say anger, but kind of, I associated that with strength, because it was just like, I saw my dad be like that. Yeah. And I saw people respect him when he would let people know they can't play with him. And so I tried to mimic that. And don't get me wrong, there's a time and place for everything.
Absolutely.
I still, hey, being a man of God don't mean be a pushover.
Don't do it.
But still learning that, again, there's a time and place.
And boundaries.
And boundaries.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So I think, again, just navigating my own relationships and just life in general after I rededicated my life, that was when the switch started to go off of just like, nah, this ain't it. That's not the way you handle things. That's not the way you handle people. So, yeah.
So good. So good. So now we're in human resources. We've been in career for a while now, yeah. Like you mentioned, double digits. And so when I think of human resources, what's so funny is my best friend, she's a human resources and she's tapping into wellness within her industry as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so interesting when you said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, my best friend is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
She actually just, we're going to have her on the podcast as well. Stay tuned.
Shout out.
So I'm wondering for you, when I think of human resources, I'm only thinking about that department, making sure that the employees are good. And in regards to that, just employment, not mental, not physical, not anything wellness, mm-hmm. just making sure, you know, code of conduct situation,
right.
Making sure in the environment, nobody is bullying you,
right.
You know, you're getting paid fairly. That's what I think about when it comes to human resources. So when I'm hearing people now tell me about the other side of it, like, we want to make sure our employees are good mentally. So if they're not good, they're not going to be able to do their work good.
Exactly.
They're not going to want to show up
exactly.
to work, things of that nature. So what made you, when your boss's boss came to you and offered you this opportunity, what was your mindset like, oh, I absolutely want to do this, or let me do a little research? Like, what was your mindset when they first gave you this opportunity?
Yeah, I did do some research just because I'd never heard of the platform Mental Health First Aid at that time. So I looked into what the course actually was and what it looked like to go through the course and really what people get out of it. And once I saw it, I was like, oh, this is just a really nice resource. Mm-hmm. And I also, I mean, training and development is a part of just my career path. So for me, finding innovative ways to train and develop people is just right up my alley. And if it's for the betterment of people's well-being, like, that's a win-win for me. But it wasn't until, like, as time progressed of actually teaching the course, I really started to see there are so many benefits, not just to the employees, but to the company. Like you pointed out, I mean, if people are being enabled to be the best version of themselves by taking care of themselves mentally, it's only going to correlate to higher productivity from them. It'll correlate to longevity, so a higher retention rate. You know, so there's a business aspect to it, too, that I think a lot of, you know, executive C-suite people may not fully see. But that's what I get paid to do, is
right.
get them to understand that. Because a lot of people also have misconceptions about HR. A lot of people think that we're like really for the company.
Uh-huh.
And I ain't gonna hold you, because I can't speak for every single HR professional. Some HR professionals might be, but a good HR professional, which is a challenge. I'm not going to say it's easy to do, but a good HR professional is always going to be out for the betterment of both parties.
Yeah.
You don't have to sacrifice one over the other. You can definitely support the employees of the organization without sacrificing the business.
Can you give us an example of what that would look like to make sure at the end of the day, somebody comes to you and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. How can you support them and show up for them, but also making sure at the end of the day, you're showing up for the business. Because at the end of the day, it's like you're a representative for the business.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's like this person is confiding in you and what's going on in their personal business. So how, what does that look like to show up for them as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of difference. And I have this type of thing happen all the time in a lot of cases.
So they trust you. That's good.
I would like to think they do.
My goal is to, all the time.
Yeah, my goal is to be a trusted strategic partner. That's my goal. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times it's leaders that are coming to me letting me know. Well, they'll let me know about their employees.
Gotcha.
But a lot of times it'll be coupled with like the leaders are coming to me of like, oh, I want to write this person up. And it's just like, well, why? Oh, well, they've just not been performing. Or, oh, they've called in 5 times over the past 2 weeks. And my response is always going to be, well, have you talked to this person? Mm-hmm. And there's other follow-up questions that I will typically have just like, okay, thinking about patterns like, okay, has this person had issues with attendance before?
Right.
Or if it's performance based, like, have they performed well up until this point?
So you dissect it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And once we get to the root of it, in most cases, honestly, if I didn't know about it at that point, like in most cases, the leader hasn't talked to them. So that's going to be my first recommendation, to talk to the employee. Of course, the employee is going to reveal whatever they're most comfortable with, but we have certain resources, even just as a business, that are available to the employees that sometimes they may not even fully know about, like the employee assistance program. Most companies have an employee assistance program, which that consists of, well, I mean, it's a number of different services that comes with an EAP, but one of the services is counseling sessions. And so what I like to do, because I never want, like, especially if there's valid concerns from the leader of like, okay, this person ultimately still isn't performing well.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a situation where the business has to suffer out of us supporting the employee. So the way I map it out for the leader is facilitate a conversation with this employee, a documented conversation where you can literally, you approach it from a seek to understand perspective. I noticed X, Y, and Z type of behavior. That's not like you. I'm concerned. And let them reveal whatever they're most comfortable revealing. And once they get to that point, okay, now reset the expectations.
Right.
And once you're resetting the expectations, give them some positive reinforcement and reassurance of, hey, I know you can do this. But if you're ever feeling like you can't, there is assistance available for you. Give them the flyer for the employee assistance program.
Very nice.
And once you're done doing that, wrap it up in a bow by sending an email follow-up, CC me, and I'll put it in their file. And that can serve as a verbal or record of conversation. So we're still holding the employee accountable,
right. But
offering support to them simultaneously.
That is so good. Okay, so you mentioned one program. Say the name again.
The employee assistance program?
Yes, that's one. Is there another program or anything as far as benefits other than getting therapy within that program that other people don't know about? Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I was in corporate, I never read any benefit outside of my benefits, like, you know, health and things of that nature. But that's outside.
Yeah.
I never knew anything within that I could get from a company. So what else can support employees that we don't know about?
Yeah. So it really, really depends on the company. I talked about the EAP because a very high percentage of companies have employee assistance program associated with your benefits, like automatically.
Yeah.
But there are some organizations that have other perks, like my company they have free subscriptions to the Calm app.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so people who don't know the Calm app, let them know what it is.
It's stuff for like better sleep and like meditation, things like that. But it's definitely geared towards your mental wellness.
Uh-huh.
So social media, like y'all just be playing in my face too much, man. Because
about to get real, man.
Not at all. Because it's like sound bites that you have like on loop.
Mm-hmm.
And one that I really liked is the rain sound, like hitting the window. And then like, I was like, this is really nice. I was like getting like this sleep to it. And then I saw this post on social media that was like, have y'all ever heard them rain sounds? It actually kind of sound like somebody frying chicken. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And so now I can't unhear it. And so now I had to find a whole new sound bite to go to sleep to. I'm like, man, that's y'all like.
Now you're thinking about that.
Right. And like I said, I couldn't unhear it after that. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, great. Let me find another one.
But, that is so.
But yeah, it's a lot of different really cool, like I said, meditation practices and things like that, uh-huh, that you can do virtually through that app. Like I said, my company actually has they have free subscriptions for employees.
That is awesome.
Yep. So that's one.
Abide is another one too. If you're a Christian, meditation to Bible scriptures.
Ooh,
it's kind of the same like Calm, because I was introduced to Calm first. And then when I was getting into the Word and just really trying to figure out different ways, instead of just going to the Bible, how to meditate on the Word, because you can just read stuff, but if you're not really taking it in, it's a difference. And so I was just figuring out different ways to actually like really receive the Word, and Abide is a good one. So it has like the rain different music and stuff in the background, but it's also discussing the scripture. So that's another one. Not in the employee assistance program, but another resource for you guys to meditate. Go ahead.
So that's an example. It really just depends on the company. I mean, if let's say, hypothetically speaking, if a company came to me and said, we want to find different ways to make wellness a priority for our employees through different benefits. I mean, if I were to build one out, like I would include stuff like the Calm app, mm-hmm, would include things like some companies have certain perks for different, like, and I know this may seem like it's a little more materialistic, but I mean, these are things that are therapeutic to people, mm-hmm, but like some companies will have discount programs,
yes,
with different like vendors, like movie theaters and stuff like that. And that's therapy for some people.
It is.
So really just like exploring different avenues to like add to people's mental things that make people happy, for a lack of better words. Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies, that, like I said, it really just depends on the company. But yeah, if it is a situation where you don't like the whole going to therapy part, you're not ready to do that just yet, there are other things that organizations do. So if there is somebody watching this that is, you know, curious about that, I would definitely recommend reaching out to your HR department to get some more information on that.
Absolutely. Okay, so now we talked about HR, we talked about the program. Uh-huh. I want to talk about, because you said once you were introduced to the
mental health first aid.
Yes, when you were introduced to the course, mm-hmm, that's what sparked you to now get back to your community for people, mm-hmm, who look like you.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited you reached out to me, because it was nothing but women that reached out to me. As soon as you reached out to me, I was like, here goes the link. Let's go, please. Because I was like, I need a Black man to speak on these type of things as well. So when you first got done with the course, or in the midst of you doing the course, during the training, I want to talk about how you got into using some of these elements, you being inspired by the course, to now pour into your own community.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what did that look like? What did those light bulb moments look like? What did the creativity look like? What did that look like to figure out the curriculum now to pour into your own community?
You know, I ain't gonna lie to you. It literally came to me. I mean, it had to be God. Like, I know for a fact that it was God, because I was literally just sitting on my couch. I'm in therapy myself, and I've been talking in therapy. This was the end of 2023. And I was just like, I don't know. I just feel like it's more that I need to be doing, but I just don't know what that is. And my therapist was just like, which my therapist is also a Black male, because
very
it's like,
nice.
It's certain things I'm like, bro, I need you to be able to relate to me on. So, but he was kind of helping me dissect that and unpack that. But simultaneously, like, you know, of course, after therapy, which I do this all the time, especially if it's like an intense session, I go to God about it afterwards, mm-hmm, just to ask God to reveal to me like what, like there's a reason why, you know, we had that intense session and things were being unpacked. Lord, what do you want me to see?
Absolutely.
From that. And so, because I think that was at the end of 2023, it was tied so much to my purpose. Mm-hmm. I was in conversation with God a lot about it. And I was like, Lord, like, I'm feeling led to do something more. I just don't know what that is. And just again, through therapy and talking to God, I was like, oh, I need to do something specifically with the Black community. But I still don't know what that is. And then one random night, it was Christmas time, because I was watching my favorite Christmas movie is The Preacher's Wife. Don't judge me.
Come on, classic.
Whitney was just so beautiful. Like, yes, her spirit was so beautiful in that movie. Like, I just, Oh, I miss Whitney, man. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was watching The Preacher's Wife. My ex used to make fun of me for, like, she was like, why is that your favorite Christmas movie? Like, that's so old of you. She was like, that's so old of you, old man of you. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So watching that, and it just, like, God just smacked me in the face with the idea, just out of nowhere. Really? There's nothing really in that movie that's like truly tied to mental health like that, especially for Black men. So I was just like, I don't know. I was just sitting there and it was just like, we need a holiday. We need a day where us as Black men need to legit be intentional. I mean, it's not just the holiday, but the holiday is the day to observe it more intentionally, but being intentional about making our mental health a priority, because we don't do that enough. And of course, like, that turned into another rabbit hole of different thoughts and ideas of, you know, why do I think that is? And, you know, what do I think that I can do to kind of help others overcome that? So that's the more robust part of it. But the short answer is it really came to me just on the couch. And so I started looking through different ways to create the holiday. There's a lot more you have to do to create like an actual federal holiday. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, businesses would close and all of that stuff. I was just like, I want to start just on the level of where it's like, it's, you can look it up. Like, it's in records. Mm-hmm. This day exists. And I found it through the National Day Archives, just because there were other like national holidays that I knew about. And I found like all of them on that site. And so I submitted. Well, before I submitted, I started like really just kind of thinking about what the purpose of it was, what day did I want it to be, and just what we overall set out to do with the holiday.
Nice.
And so I verbalized it. I put it like actually on paper of what that looked like. And then I submitted it and it got approved. And so it was like, okay, cool. I created the holiday. Now what? But I was just like, okay. Because I created it, it was finalized in April of 2024. And the holiday is July 18th. So I was just like, I feel like we should have like some sort of event to like roll it out. I was like, what does that look like? And so I was like, and that's something I can't do by myself. And so that's why I ended up building a team. Hopefully they end up watching this. So my core team, and they're still my core team now, Jamal Ross and Candace Williams. And then I have some others, Jaleesa Noir helped out as well, with like, you know, getting some other things together, like merchandise and stuff like that. But yeah, I got with some people that I knew would support this cause as much as I would. And we just started brainstorming like just different ideas for putting an event together. And we put the event together. We had it on July 17th last year. So the day before, and the event was called Black Man, Your Mental Health Matters.
Beautiful.
And it was kind of like a mental health mixer. So for me, you know, to like, I can geek out over mental health stuff, but that may not be the case for everybody else.
Right.
So I want to make it as digestible as possible and, you know, and enjoyable. We had a DJ, DJ GS was on the ones and twos. We had food, like an actual food. It wasn't, you know, little finger foods. We had like legit food.
We had meals.
Yeah, we had food. We had an open bar with, I mean, you could get wine or you could get non-alcoholic. It was just completely up to you. But I just wanted to create an atmosphere of just, I hate to use the V word, but a vibe. Because I mean, that was really what we wanted to do. Because we wanted people to get comfortable enough to actually talk about
a space.
Space, exactly. And so we had like some like icebreaker, like
very nice
events and games and stuff in the beginning
to get some engagement.
Yeah, get some engagement. And then, but the focal point of the event was the panel. Yeah. So I had a panel of, technically it was actually four guys on the panel, three of which were all licensed therapists.
I mean, their information, so I get them on the podcast.
Gotcha. Yeah, like I said, three of them licensed therapists that are also Black men.
Very nice.
That could. Oh, and the event was open to women as well. Oh, so there were a few couples mm-hmm. there, a few married couples.
So good.
That was another thing that like the bigger picture, like I really want to like create this like it's not just about Black men. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, I think about the household. It's like man, the woman. I mean, but the man needs to be in a certain space mentally as well to be able to support his family. Really, so like having the image of the woman supporting the man taking care of himself mentally, that was something I just wanted to be able to do. So I was like, I want it to be open to women as well. But anyway, digressing a little bit.
I see the foundation. I see the vision.
So we opened the floor for any and every question that every attendee had. Of course, I didn't know, because we had QR codes where everyone could scan it and enter in their question. And when we started the event, like it was moving kind of slow just in terms of people putting questions in there. And then I got on the loudspeaker and was like, okay, we're starting the panel in 15 minutes. And we ended up with like 25 questions.
That's
I was
amazing.
Like, so of course we couldn't get through all of them, but then we like the ones that we didn't get a chance to answer, we put on our social media periodically after mm-hmm. that. But because I just had the guys that were on the panel like submit mm-hmm. written responses. So we still wanted to like offer the support for those that, you know, submitted the questions, but they couldn't get them answered in person that day. But yeah,
got an event coming this year?
So yes, but later in the year. So this year we decided to do something a little different. We're doing some virtual stuff. Mm-hmm. One of which is a mental health PSA of myself and some other guys that work in the mental health space that are also Black men. We're also doing a men's mental health roundtable.
Very nice.
And I'm sorry, I kind of cheated. The title that I told you at the beginning, like the icebreaker, that's actually the name of the roundtable. But it was just like
it came so good and so quick.
Yeah, so okay, I was just like, it was fresh on my brain. But it was like, I mean,
I appreciate your honesty.
But like, so the goal behind that, we actually set up. So, you know, I have my film background. So we actually mm-hmm. set it up to where the camera angles were going to, we're actually playing cards as we're like, we're playing spades as we're
very
like,
nice. Okay.
We're having a conversation just about mental health. The goal was to make it be, or at least look like a recreation of the card table scene on The Best Man.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where like Lance like comes across the table.
Yes.
Oh, so the goal was to put a spin on that scene because, you know, they were at the table talking about women, mm-hmm. you know. Of course, the whole thing with Mia came up and all of that. Well, obviously, we weren't doing that.
Right.
So the goal was to like, you know, show that like, okay, brothers can come together,
absolutely.
Play some cards, maybe have a couple of drinks and actually talk about something meaningful that's for the betterment of us.
Yeah.
So that will be being released like periodically. I said we had the PSA. And then I wanted to find a way to bring together both of my brands. So National Black Men's Mental Health Day and then also The Crib. Oh, mm-hmm. We actually did a mini episode with DJ J Line, shout out, where he actually did a DJ set of songs that are uplifting to us as Black men. Because music is, I truly believe that music is very therapeutic as well. I think that it can be a part of, I mean, I know for me, it's been a large part of my mental health journey. So we just wanted to, I mean, for lack of better words, again, using that V word, just create the vibe for the holiday. Mm-hmm. So the PSA and the episode of The Crib will both be released on July 18th.
Very nice. I love that. Okay. Yeah. So now we're going to get into our next section and we're pretty much going to talk about highs and lows. Let's start with a low. Anything that questioned, you know, your journey into mental wellness, even when you find in the therapist. I know for me, mm-hmm. it took a little bit for me to find someone. And I feel like I got to start all over. But anyway, it's about you and your journey. What has been a low for you, but you came over it, you were able to get through it to where you are today? And then after that, let's talk about a high that you want to celebrate still to this day. And it could be anything. It could be your career. Yeah. It could be anything.
Yeah. I had to pivot. So part of the reason why, and this is a transparent moment, I had to pivot because I actually, unfortunately, got laid off from my last job earlier this year. And at the time, I was just like, okay, I still need to be smart with my finances. Absolutely. But I was just like, I mean, I'm not in a place where like, oh, where's my next meal about to come from? Like, thankfully, I was not in that predicament. But it was just the timing of it all. We were about to start planning the event. And I was just like, I would want to still do the event, but I just don't think it would be smart financially right now, just because we didn't have enough sponsorships to like get it fully taken care of. So I was just like, right now, I don't think that would be smart, but I was just like, I don't know what to do. I was just like, I don't want to like do nothing, right? Which by the way,
the first year.
Right. But this is, I'm talking about this year.
Oh, this year. Okay.
I've been repositioned career-wise. So like you know, God is good. Because the employment market right now, the job market is crazy right now. Like I got placed in something else very quick. That was all God. But that's all the situation. But even in that short window of time, I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's when I was going to God about it. I was like, Lord, like, I don't want to drop the ball on this just because I've run into, you know, a seasonal snag, we'll call it.
I like that.
So I was just like, what are some ways that I could still, you know, make it happen where we're still celebrating the holiday for a fraction of the cost? And that's when, again, like, and I was praying on that heavy for like a week. And I was in the middle of a workout one day. And again, like, God would do it in the most random moments. Yes, like, you know. I was in the middle of a workout, and it's just like these ideas just start coming to me. And that's where the ideas for doing all the virtual stuff came. Or maybe that's, like, the high. No, that is the high. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. So that, like, flows into the high of... So I'm a member of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship.
Okay.
One of the associate pastors, Pastor Bobby Gibson, he did a sermon on thriving in a valley. And this was like maybe a year or so ago. But this particular message really stuck with me because, I mean, just in life, we go through peaks and valleys. Yeah. That's just a part of it.
Absolutely.
That's just, especially as children of God, we go through peaks and valleys. And the purpose, well, I mean, it's always different purposes that God, you know, allows certain things to happen in your life, but it's ultimately for him to get all the glory, to receive all the glory. But I think a lot of the thing about, unfortunately, when you're in a valley, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Just naturally uncomfortable, whether it's, you know, you lost your job or, you know, just got out of a bad relationship or, you know, you're struggling with your health or whatever it is, it's uncomfortable. This message was about, he used the imagery of a physical valley. A physical valley is water and there's dirt / soil. And what comes from that, flowers bloom. So while you're in your valley, intentionally look for and search for the beauty in that moment.
Absolutely.
While God is still doing work on your behalf, mm-hmm. there's still other things that he wants you to get out of even being in those low moments. Mm. And for me, it was just like, and that's what thriving in a valley is all about. And for me, that message stuck with me because I was like, I strive to do that. Mm. Because that, honestly, thriving in a valley in a moment where you don't know what's about to happen, you literally are only operating on your faith. You're operating on your faith like never before. That's how you impress God. It's impossible to impress God without faith.
I love it.
So for me, that has been an extreme high for me of in a moment. And it was a very brief moment. Again, I'm so thankful that I was repositioned rather quickly.
Yeah.
But I, in a very uncertain moment, when I felt like I was supposed to be doing one thing, God kept my mind and my heart, and my spirit open to pivoting.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, we're not going to be able to do it like we did it last year because I'm in a seasonal valley, but let me find the beauty in my valley right now. What can we do otherwise?
That is so good.
So that was definitely my high.
I love that. I was going to say, if you can give the people a word, that was a word. I mean, okay, so we are towards the end, and I do want you to share with people how they can keep up with you,
yeah,
all the events that we mentioned today, and any resources that you may have to provide to people that need a little assistance, wherever they are mentally, physically, yeah, et cetera. So definitely go ahead and share with them, and I'll make sure to put those links in our show.
Yeah. So my personal social media is paw.paw. It's paw_dot_paw. And that's just because my nickname since like high school has been Pawpaw, because everybody said I had an ozone. So that just always stuck. And then if you want to watch my music show, it is at the THA Crib Dallas. So yeah, that's on Instagram and TikTok. So that's my music show. For the mental health brand right now, it is NVMMH Day. So, and it's an acronym for National Black Men's Mental Health Day. But we are going to be changing it. I don't have a date for when we're going to change the actual at name. But, oh, I didn't mention this. We just recently got our DBA.
Congratulations.
I felt led to go further than this just being a holiday. So we're in the process of turning it into a nonprofit organization.
Absolutely.
And the name of the organization is Brothers Healing. This Brothers with an A. And so it will, for the mental health brand, that will be the social media name.
Very nice.
Sometime in the near future. I don't have a date for when that's going to happen, but that would be happiness. What was the other thing? Oh, you just different resources.
Yeah,
right?
You have like a website, anything like that. Well, I know you're still getting everything together, but yeah, anything to where, hey, I want to keep up with what Jeremy said. He was very great on the podcast. All of those.
Yeah, so I don't have a website up just yet. That is definitely something that's in the works. But as far as like other resources, if you are, this is the, especially for Black men out there that are curious about going to therapy, I've had conversations with plenty of my homies that have tried therapy at some point in their lives and it just didn't work for them because they was like, oh, I didn't, you know, this therapist is like, you know, it's nothing against my sisters or anything like that, but it's just like, well, us as Black men, I think that even when we just get in a room amongst each other, there's just so many commonalities.
Yes.
So many ways for us to like gain from each other. And I feel like therapy is no different. So I honestly, if you have a curiosity towards starting therapy and you don't know where to start and you don't know like what type of therapist you think you should have, my recommendation for any Black man is to have a Black man be your therapist. And I know a lot of men don't know where to start. If you have the means, and if you also have, and actually, no, there's a section on this website where you can find resources that are free as well. But Lord, not BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is a good one too.
Yeah, but the one that I use, the one that I think is like the dopest one, I mean, they're all good, but Headway is a really good one. Uh-huh. So Headway, you can literally tailor your search all the way down to ethnicity, gender, all of that good stuff. And you literally can search the profiles of each therapist. You can see like where they're located, if they offer virtual, if what their background is, like what they specialize in. Because I mean, you know, if you're somebody that maybe, let's say you're a war veteran and you struggle with PTSD, like there are therapists that specialize, my therapist specializes in that. If you're looking for like LGBTQIA, is that all of them?
Plus.
There we go, plus, there we go. There are therapists that specialize in that. If you struggle with anxiety specifically, there are therapists that specialize in that. So you can literally tailor your search for all of that, where you literally can handpick your specific therapist based on your specific needs. And I think that it's a really good tool to use if you've never searched for a therapist before, because it's a really user-friendly site. It'll let you know, it'll give you an estimate of what the cost will be. If it is a therapist that doesn't offer free services, it'll give you an estimate of the cost with or without insurance. So, I mean, it's literally all of the things that you need all in one place. That is a really good resource. And then also, if you are somebody that you are seeking counseling and just overall mental health services, regardless of if you're in Dallas or if you're, I'm sure there are viewers outside of Dallas, check with your city. Like each city's website has free local resources.
Fair.
Every city does. I know for a fact Dallas does, but I know every city does. Uh-huh. So I would definitely recommend checking there as well. And then, Slee, if you are struggling mentally to the point of, now I get a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Not sensitive, but a little serious. If you're struggling mentally to the point where it's becoming too much for you, you don't know how you can go on, and you are considering suicide, there is help available. The suicide prevention hotline is very helpful. So that is something that I also recommend. And if we could put that
in the
phone number.
For sure.
Yeah, that would be great. But yeah, there are lots of resources available. And I only scratched the surface. I didn't cover them all, but I just provided my contact info. If you ever want to reach out to me and you need assistance, or, I mean, I'm not a therapist, but I mean, I do work in the mental health space. So if you just need somebody to talk, I've been told that I'm pretty personable. So, you know, I'm here if you need me.
And you can point them to the right direction too. So I think that's absolutely good.
Because
you named a lot of things. So just in case, like, you may not have all the information, but you can point them to where they need to be.
Absolutely.
So I think that's good.
Absolutely.
Okay. So one last thing, we always leave on the motivational side of the episode. It could be a Bible verse. It could be a quote that I saw, something that just really sparked my eye. And I bring it on here. I share it first. And then we say something short of our thoughts on it. And then it's a wrap.
Yeah.
So today's motivational moment is a quote, and I think it's perfect for what we talked about today, especially, you know, being in this headspace and not feeling alone, because at the end of the day, what you may be going through, somebody else may be going through.
Yeah.
So today's quote is by Malcolm X. When I is replaced with we, even illness becomes wellness.
Oh, wow.
I
like that. I like that.
I'm going to keep mine short because that's pretty much what I just said at the beginning with my intro to saying what the quote is. And I think a lot of times we forget that. I mean, I don't feel like we forget. We're just so stuck in what we're going through, not knowing that your sister, your brother, your father, your mother, your cousins, your best friend, somebody else could be going through that same thing. And I feel like that's what happened with me yesterday. I've been having headaches, and I realized it was my anxiety. And I had a good conversation with one of my good friends. And after I joke, I'm very goofy. But at the same time, I was dancing, and I realized after I got off the phone, I felt rejuvenated because I got that off my chest versus me just holding it in, because I can be strong-willed.
Yeah.
And I can keep a lot of things to myself. I journal, I pray, things of that nature. But I think at that time, I really just needed to get it out and have somebody listen to me.
Yeah.
And so when we're in that headspace where we just feel like it's heavy, I think at that time, you really need to let it out. Journaling does help for certain people. But if you have that best friend, if you have somebody that you can confide in, I would say take advantage of that, because we're not alone. And we take things and we keep things to ourselves. I think that's when we get pushed to the edge in certain situations. And so if we can avoid that in all means, you have to figure out what those trigger points that's making you feel those ways, so we can avoid those and do the right things to get away and go back to the light. And so when it comes to that quote, that's what I really thought about, is just really getting a community together, really getting a solid foundation of who you can reach out to support you in those low moments. What about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, the first thing I think about is literally the first book of the Bible. I mean, in Genesis, when God created Adam, he literally created Eve, because, like, no, you're not meant to be here alone by yourself. And if it goes all the way back to the beginning of time, hello, somebody, it should definitely ring a bell that, like, I mean, you're not meant to operate through this thing we call life by yourself, especially as it pertains to just your overall well-being. Utilize your village and just the different resources around you. When I think about, you know, the word we, that could mean you and one other person. Or that could mean a group of people. I mean, the word also says when two or more are gathered. So, you know, again, that quote to me ultimately means you are not meant to do this by yourself. Absolutely. Because you're not.
I love it. I mean, you gave us so much today. And I am so thankful for our conversation. Is there anything you want to leave with the people you feel like you may have left out? Anything of that nature?
Maybe just one last thing just about the brand of like just some of the things that we do. I mentioned, of course, we had the event Black Man, Your Mental Health Matters, but we also do other work just in the community with other organizations. We just did the Men of Valor Conference in Arlington back in March. We had a booth at Afro Air Fest at Fair Park back in May. Of course, like I said, we're doing our virtual stuff. We'll have Black Man, Your Mental Health Matters. So the goal, again, is to really like just get as much information and encouragement out to as many. I really want to impact as many Black men as humanly possible, just with different resources and just tips and tools to just be the best version of yourself, even if you don't have a family, just for you, you know? Because, I mean, if there is a Black man watching this, like, King, we need you. Yes. We need you here.
Absolutely. I mean, when I say I'm filled, this was awesome. I'm so thankful. All right. Well, we want to also thank you guys so much. Make sure you tap in. I'm going to make sure all the links are in the show notes. Make sure that you reach out, support Jeremy and all the things that he has going on. But if you're listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you so much for listening and watching What's Good Podcast. And we see you guys next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.